Welcome to Life Church Birmingham. We are glad you have listened today. We know God has a plan and purpose for your life and want to help you be successful in Jesus Christ. We know you will receive a message of hope and encouragement.
This morning when we started, the way we started, as the Holy Spirit does, you know, I never get in the way of the Holy Spirit. I don't even have to preach. That's the last thing I worry about, is I just want the Holy Spirit to do what he does. He's the preacher, he's the healer, he's everything. So sometimes if we're not careful, we'll get in the way and we're like, well, I got to preach. And he's like, okay, well, go ahead and preach. I mean, I was going to just like radically do some stuff, but you know, you want to preach, so go ahead and knock yourself out. So it says here, who shall bring charge against God's elect? We've been elected. It says, it is God who justifies. We've been justified. It says, who is he who condemns? Okay. Is it Christ who died and furthermore also risen? Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us? You notice it goes from things to who? Y'all notice that? It's talking about things. Then all of a sudden it turns into who. So it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The things is what who is trying to do. You know what I'm saying? You know, all the things is what who is trying to do. And who is the devil? Who is anything that comes against us? Opposition. When this starts off in verse 18, it says this. It says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time, which we are there, obviously, it says the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Watch this. For the earnest expectation. Say that with me. Say, for the earnest expectation. I mean, it talks about us. It talks about the earth. You know, the earth is moaning and groaning, you guys. The earth wants to be restored. The earth was cursed in the garden because two people made a bad decision. After the Lord had told them, you can do anything you want, really. Just don't do this. I mean, how hard is that, y'all? I mean, how hard is that? Well, it was very hard because there's a person, amen, called Satan, Lucifer, who made his own decisions too. He was the worship leader in heaven. Get that? He led worship and decided that, hey, I want to be like God. Pride got in his way. Pride is the fall of man. And the crazy thing about Lucifer is that all these angels followed him. I'm always like, Pastor, I'm like, that's crazy, y'all. How in the world are you going to be worshiping God 24/7 and you're an angel? And I think to myself, that's how deceptive he is. In the church, in the home, TV, radio, whatever, it's deception. John 10:10 says, for this reason, the devil came. You know, people use evil a lot. I'm like, just put the D in there, y'all, okay? Just quit messing around. Amen? So, you know, okay, so for this reason, the devil came. To what? Robar, matar, y destruir. To steal, kill, and destroy. That's all. Three things. Nothing else. He didn't come to be your friend. He'll act like your friend. Amen? He'll put you in wrong relationships. He'll do all sorts of stuff. I'm not going to dwell on that. But anyway, but you know what I'm saying, right? Amen. You know him. He's under your feet. That's where he is. It says, so everything is waiting. So he's talking about when he starts in verse 31, that's what he's saying, these things. But all of a sudden it turns into who? Who is he who condemns? Who? Now it goes to who? Okay, is it Christ who died? It is furthermore he who risen? Who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us? Look, y'all, we serve an amazing God. And our Savior, Jesus, is just out of this world. You know what I'm saying? And loved us so much that he said, I got to go because I'm sending you someone that he's just out of this world. I mean, you say, you think I was cool? You wait till you receive the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what I'm saying? You wait till you get saved. I mean, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit's in you. You know, people talk about the anointing. Oh, man, that guy's anointed. If you're saved, you're anointed. You can't get no more anointing. Jesus is the anointed one, uno, the anointed one. When we accept Jesus Christ, he comes with everything. It's not like 25%, you know, and whatever. It's like everything. So it says here, you have to release the anointing. Amen? You have to know the anointing. You got to learn about Jesus, the anointed one. You got to learn about the Holy Spirit. Then you need to begin to release him. And then people will say, oh, man, that guy's so anointed. Well, I'm not anointed. He's anointed. I just realized that God called me to sing. Amen? And I'm going to seek the Lord with all my heart, and I'm going to fast for 21 days and more days, and I'm just fasting, and prayer is going to be part of my life. And you're going to get to know him and to know him and know him, and the anointing is going to, as they say, increase, because the word says, I decrease, he increases. So we're all anointed. And in these 21 days, you guys have fasted and fasted, and God needs you, you know. I spoke to several of you, and God gave me a word. You know, there's two couple right there. You know, you need to talk to pastor about that, okay? But that was a word from the Lord. That was the word of knowledge. But you know what? God needs our church. We're not at a time today, guys, where we need to cower down. You know, I was speaking to a man right there, just spoke a word over this young man, and I told him, I said, you know, you're an authentic man. You're an authentic God-created male. Amen? And the devil is after the male. Was he not after Jesus? Was he not after Moses? I mean, come on, you guys. As Christians, y'all, we need to pay attention, you know, to what's going on. Fathers, I'm not really getting off track. I just have some things I have to say. Fathers, you need to teach your children the word. Man, we're not toxic. We're anointed. Amen? We're not toxic. We're anointed. And the devil hates it. So, but anyway, let's move forward. So it says right here, it says, who also makes intercession for us, who, okay, now it says, once again, it went from things to who. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who, you guys, who can separate you from God? Nobody can, unless you allow them to. Anybody ever hurt you, speak bad about you? You know what I'm saying? You know, anger that comes in, all these things, you know, remorse and all that. You're allowing someone to control you and pull you away from Christ, because the word says no one can pull you from Christ. And we allow people to derail us from where God has taken us. And right now in the days that we are living in, we don't have time as the church to be derailed. Pastor Tim and Jamie cannot be derailed right now. Time to be derailed. They have to stay focused on what God is saying. And it's all right here. He wrote it for us. He left it for us. And I believe that the church needs to just wake up. And I know I may ruffle some pants or whatever when I say I don't pray for revival. Jesus is revival. We ought to wake up every day in revival. Amen. The word says pray for awakening. Pray for those who sleep. We need to pray that the church arises and that it wakes up. And that's what your pastor is doing right now. Calling a 21-day fast saying, hey, you guys, we need to seek the Lord. There's stuff to do in this city and we got to do it. And we have a God that's bigger than everything else. He'll anoint us, he'll help us, he'll give us resources, he'll empower us. We'll be the craziest witnessing people. We'll be walking around all over the place praying for folks at Circle K's and stores and post offices, and people will be getting healed, demons cast out, all sorts of work. We're going to wreck the city. That's what they did in the book of Acts. I can't get away from that, pastor. I cannot and I will not. And they'll look at you crazy. But who cares? They looked at Jesus crazy. Isn't that right? What they say, we got to kill this dude. He's too crazy, man. This guy's radical. We got to kill him. That's who the church needs to be today. We just need to be the church. We need to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, amen, with boldness. In the book of Acts, what they say, they were beating them up. They were doing all sorts of stuff. They came in there and they said, they prayed and they said, Lord, give us boldness. Give us boldness to go back out. But they didn't stop there. They said, and let your hand. Come on, y'all. Amen. Let your hand move. Let your hand go out. As we go, let your hand do miracles, signs and wonders. See, we got to get back on track. I love Matthew. You know, I love the Great Commission. We need to be a Great Commission. We need to tattoo it on our forehead. You know, you were military. If you're in the military, raise your hand in here. If you were in the military today, you guys, raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Amen. Give them some praise, you guys. Amen. Amen. I grew up in a family of military men. We need to be militant. Amen. Violence has always come against the kingdom, but the violent take it by force. And that's not physically. That's praying and walking and operating in the power of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So it says right here, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. It says we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. We're going to face things. Jesus said, in this world there shall be trouble. It's not easy. I don't wake up every morning and saying, I had a guy used to tell me all the time, he said, Pastor, pray for me because the devil's on my back. I'm like, after about the third time, I said, I ain't praying for you no more. And he said, what? I'm serious. I mean, I'm just, it is what it is. I'm not going to pray for you anymore. I said, what's the devil doing on your back? He was a Bible scholar. You know, I'm like, where's the devil supposed to be? Okay, so what's he doing? You wake up and put him in your backpack? I'm like, don't come and ask me to pray anymore. Get with the program. You know what I'm saying? People are dying and going to hell. You know, all day, all around you, someone needs Jesus. You ask someone at the gas station, you're pumping gas, and you're like, hey, man, how you doing? Oh, my back's killing me, man. Okay, well, you know what? Pray for him and let him be healed. I was at a gas station not too long ago, and this man was just, he was just really rude. Back in the day, I'd have probably slapped him and knocked him out or something, but he was really rude, man. I mean, he had a bad spirit on him. And the Lord told me, he says, I want you to pray for him because he had an injury. He played way back in the day at Hartzell. Injured his back, hurt his back, got mad at God, got out of church, hadn't been to church like in 30-something years. And I was pumping gas, and he was complaining about, this stinking effing gas, you know, it's $4 a gallon, and talking about the presidents and everything else. And I walked over there, and I said, sir, I said, this is what the Lord said. The Lord said that he's going to heal your back. I said, it's an old injury when you played football at a high school here in this area. And he just looks at me like, if he'd have cussed me, it's okay, because I'm just saying what the Lord said. You know, but he just stands there, and he just looks at me like he can't even say a word. And I said, I'm going to put my hand on your back, and God's going to heal you. And I said, and you know what? I said, and you've been mad at God for all these things, all these years. I said, you need to give that up. I said, because God loves you so much, he's going to heal you right now. And I prayed for him right there, and right there, God healed him. Right there, God healed him at the gas pump. I can tell you so many crazy testimonies. It's ridiculous. You know what I'm saying? And I know you all do that too, right? Yes, sir. Amen. So, number 37, verse 37 says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors for whom he loved us. Amen. And we're finishing this fast today. And you know what? Let's do what the word says. Everything that we've been taught all week, all month, let's just say I'm persuaded. Say it with me. Say, I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. Say it again. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. Amen. I'm persuaded. Young people, say it with me. Say, I'm persuaded. Amen. You don't need no junk. You don't need trash, man. The devil's throwing everything he can at you. You know what? Stand fast. Stand fast. Pursue the Lord. He needs you. Your generation needs you. Amen. For every one of your generation that decides to follow the devil, it's going to damage probably hundreds of your generation. Your generation needs you to not be religious, not do this and that, not judge people, but you just need to be the salt and you need to be the light. Amen. And talk to people normal and love them. Listen to them and ask them, can I pray for you? And let the Holy Spirit do what he's going to do. Invite them to church. Invite them to your small groups. Do whatever. You know what I'm saying? But go after these people. It says, for I've been persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come. Amen. It says, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate me, amen, put your name in there, shall be able to separate Emilio from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. So listen, you guys, fasting and prayer, it releases the supernatural of God. Fasting and prayer releases the supernatural God. If you go with me right now to Matthew 6:16, let's go to Matthew 6:16. And we're going to see prayer and fasting in action. In Matthew 6:16, the word says this, 16 through 18. It says, now when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. I missed 10. I was in 6. Thank you, Cheyenne. Amen. So on. Okay, so I think Pastor did that one day, too. He was like, where was I? I'm not messing with you, man. But anyway, we do it, you guys. We're real. We're just like you. We're just like anyone else. Okay, Matthew 16:16 through 18. So it says this right here. It says, dang, I'm in John. Okay. Pray for me right now. Say, Lord, help Pastor Emilio. Amen. He's too fired up. Amen. Matthew 16, we're there now. 16 through 18. The word says this right here. It says, 16 through 18, it says, Simon Peter answered and said, We're there. Okay. Matthew 6:17 through 18. Matthew 6, 17 through 18. Okay? So let's start at 16. I'm sorry. Moreover, when you fast, do not like the hypocrites. Do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces. Man, that's sad. It says, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. You see, so fasting is something that we do, but we need to do it correctly also. You know, we need to do things right. We need to do it correctly. And I thank God that you have pastors that are leading you. And, you know, my pastor, Pastor George Sawyer and Miss Phyllis, thank you. We love you. We honor you. Amen. We honor them today. They're my senior pastors. You know, pastors typically do a good job of teaching people what's this. Not everyone knows what fasting is. You talk about fasting and everybody's like, oh, my God, I'm going to starve. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, let's get it right in here and let's understand why we're fasting. I'm assuming that for 21 days, every individual in here, you may have had your own private thing that you were fasting for. Maybe a friend at your job, you know, that just really needs Jesus. Maybe a friend that's been battling a spirit of infirmity for years, and you're like, okay, God, I'm going to fast, and this thing's going to break in Jesus' name. They don't know you're praying for them. They don't know you're fasting. You know, maybe you're fasting for your marriage. You know, we're all fasting for something. Of course, we're fasting because we want to draw closer to God. It's not something we're doing to starve ourselves. We're starving the flesh. When we fast biblically, we draw, our intention is to draw closer to God. Amen? And to crucify the flesh, as the word says. I love that word because that's a very strong word. It's a harsh word. But Jesus said it, crucify the flesh. So we crucify the flesh so we can draw near to God. And we can hear the Lord. Amen. We can hear God. We can sense God. We can sense the Holy Spirit, His presence. We can hear His voice. Maybe not audible, maybe you have. It doesn't matter. The thing is that we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We're sensitive to what's going on around us. We're sensitive to what's going on in the world, young people. Amen. The enemy's after your minds, after your decisions, after your heart. Deception, pumping deception like crazy. You got to make up your mind. Who are you going to follow? You going to follow man or you going to follow the word of God? And that'll help you make any decision you have to make in life. Whatever decision it is that you need to make, it's right here, like Pastor said. Everything you need is found in this word. Amen? So listen, you guys. So it says here, it says, and when you pray, don't pray like that. It says, standing in front of the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may see, that you may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they will receive their reward. So see, there's rewards out there. They'll get theirs. You know, then it says, but you, talking to his people, amen, you know, talking to his village, talking to his community, you people, he says, when you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. You see, there's a battle for that secret place, isn't there? Isn't there a battle for the secret place? How many of you, like me, sometimes have a hard time just getting in secret? How many? Y'all help me. Come on. Y'all, we're not all just perfect in here. I'm very transparent. I'm about as transparent as you can get. Amen. I struggle sometimes. Pastors sometimes. Don't we struggle? You ever struggle like reading the word one day? You're like, man, I've got a million things to do. I hadn't even sat down and just like read a whole chapter of the Bible or anything. I hadn't prayed for 30 minutes in tongues. You know what I'm saying? I got to do this. I got to do that. There's a struggle. But we have to make a habit of it. We need to, it's got to be a pattern in our life that every day we do that. Best thing to do is, you know, it's not just all religious and everything. Jesus figured it out. He said, I got to get up in the morning, man, because when I get going, it's going to be about 1,000 people, 10,000, half a million. They're going to be following me everywhere I go. So I got to connect my daddy like early in the morning. And that's probably a pretty good pattern. You know what I'm saying? And get in the word and seek the Lord. Get in his presence. It says, you know, shut the door in that secret place. So watch this. This is where everything comes from. When you spend time with the Lord, Jesus went and spent time with the Lord, and when he came back, what happened? Crazy stuff. Thousands of people followed him. Miracles happened, signs and wonders, and they brought him people. You know, I tell our church when I advertise, I'm like, if your cousin has a demon, tie him and throw them in the truck. Don't I tell them, you guys? I'm like, tie them and bring them in the truck. Come on, y'all. And then the church is like, this dude's crazy. No, I'm not. I'm just, when are we going to do what the word says? The word said they brought them. In Matthew, it says they began to bring people because God was healing people. So I'm just, it is what it is. I tell men, we have to be word men, not religious men, not churchy men. We need to be word men. What does the word say? Okay, capiche. Ahí se termina. Lo que dice la palabra, hermano, ahí se completa todo. Amen. So whatever the word says is what we do. So it says, in secret, you will be rewarded. Amen. It says, and do not pray with repetitions, vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they will be heard, it says, and for their many words. Amen. So we see here, you guys, that the word is encouraging us, you know, to pray. It says, when we pray, when we fast, something happens after we fast. Jesus prayed and fasted for 40 days. Amen. He went into the desert. Matthew and Luke say it just a little different, but it's pretty much the same story. So Matthew says that Jesus was sent, was led into the desert. And then when he finishes it, it says the angels came and tended to him. Obviously, he was hungry, okay? I'm a big action guy. I love action, okay? So I was raised in military family, so I'm kind of militant. So I just like action. I'd like to put my hand on someone and slam them on the floor if they get out of hand in church or something, you know. I've actually done several things, you know what I'm saying? But anyway, I did choke a guy down at church one day, so it's just who I am. It's who men are, I guess. But anyway, it's that we need that. Yeah, so we need that. So anyway, you know, prayer and fasting, you guys, it says, in Luke it says that he was filled by the Holy Spirit. Remember, he was baptized? Filled with the Holy Spirit. You ever think about why Jesus needed the Holy Spirit? Have y'all ever thought about that? This is not deep stuff, y'all. It's not like I'm Mr. Theologian guy. No, I'm just a guy that didn't own a Bible, 37 years old in the United States, never owned a Bible, ain't never read one, okay? And when I got my first Bible, I was like, I told Pastor Tim and Jamie, that was the craziest book I never read. I don't like reading. But when I started reading it, it kept it in my heart, and I'm like, this is crazy. I'm taught, huh, babe? This is like ridiculous. And then this sniper guy moved down here from Louisiana, Mark Babb. Hey, Mark, we love you. Amen. He was a sniper. And we got together, and I'm like, man, let's go to these neighborhoods and let's pray for these people. And, you know, the church said, don't go over there. They're full of demons. And I'm like, well, I just read, in whatever book that was, I just read, go and lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed and cast demons out. He said, let's go, bro. Amen. So we go into these trailers and neighborhoods and people's getting saved and demons are coming out of people, just got saved. I didn't know nothing. And I'm like, I want to stay that way. Hey, come on, y'all. I want to stay that way. I don't want to grow out of that. Because that's what Jesus did. Are you guys getting this? We need to wake up. After 21 days, things are supposed to happen. And we're living in some very challenging times today. And the church cannot afford to just be mediocre. We have to be crazy. If people say, well, I'm not going to that church because them folks get in there and people's getting healed and they're speaking in tongues. Well, you know what? There's a church for you somewhere probably. It's okay. You see? But a person who is hurting and broken is in dire street. They have no idea what they're going to do. And someone says, well, I went to Life Church and they, whatever, I guess they laid hands on me. You don't have to lay hands on everybody. You know what I'm saying? Or they laid hands on me and they prayed for me. And I'm here to tell you, something happened. I think a demon came out of me. I said, then those people need the church. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Amen. So power comes when we pray and we fast. Amen. What comes when we fast? There's supernatural power. It's not our power. You know, how do you know someone's ears messed up? How do you know someone's neck's hurting them? How do you know this? How do you know that? Amen. This lady walked out of a laundromat one day, and she was in the laundry real early. It was early in the morning, and I pull up to do laundry, and this young girl's in there, and I just pull up, and the Holy Spirit says, tell her that she's going to have twins. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I'm just like, I'm not a morning person, okay, Pastor? I mean, I'm not like, you know, I'm just,
oh, Lord, I need a backhoe to pull me out of the bed. Amen. But in that process, I am loving the Lord. You know, Lord, I do love you. Amen. You know, so this is early. So the lady walks out, the young girl walks out, and I get out of my truck, and I said, good morning. And I'm like, I'm not crazy or nothing, okay? Because you need to say stuff like that. You know, I'm like, I'm not crazy. But when I pulled up and saw you, the Lord says, you're going to have twins. And she just breaks out crying. And she says, my husband and I have done everything we could to have babies. She said, how do you know that? I said, the Lord told me. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me once I pulled up. 9 months later or whatever, she calls Calvary. She says, I think she asked me where I was from. I don't tell people I'm a pastor or nothing. I just give God all the glory. Amen. So then she called the church, I guess found out I went there or something. And she said, tell that man that prayed for me that we just had twins. Give God some praise. Amen. You think that lady's life was changed? Because as Christians, we're walking around just saying, God, speak to me. I'm going to the bank, Lord. Tell me something. I'm like a little boy, man. I love my daddy. I'm like, Lord, I'm going to the gym. I'm like, man, last time we were in the sauna, this football player, hey, amen, we prayed for him, and his back was healed, and he played football at Hartsel. And I don't know what it is about Hartsel, but anyway, God loves Hartsel. But anyway, so this guy, I'm like, pray for him, man. So we prayed for him. He brings me back the x-rays, and his back is like a 19-year-old. And it was funny because I'm like, he's like, man, he said, my back's on fire. And I'm like, yo, we're in the sauna. I just love the Lord, man. I'm like, God, you're so cool. I'm like, we're in the sauna. And this dude's like, my back's on fire. I told him, God's healing you. The other day, a guy at the gym, another time at the gym, a knee, Hispanic guy, plays a lot of soccer. He's had two surgeries on his knee. Doesn't go to church, nothing. Doesn't know the Lord, anything. And I was praying. It just, something came over me. I said, how's your knee, bro? ¿Qué pasa con tu rodilla? You know, so he begins to talk to me. And I said, this holy frustration came inside of me. And I'm like, I'm tired of seeing this young guy struggling with that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, God, why don't you just heal him? You know what I'm saying? Just heal him. You know, let him know who you are. You know, he'll come to you one day. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, man, I'm going to pray for you. So I got on my knees, you guys, and I began to pray for him. So while I was praying for him, I saw Jesus' hand. And I saw the sand, and I don't know anything about that. It's just something he did, you know. There's no explanation for it, and it doesn't matter to me. But anyway, so I did see it. I literally saw it. I saw his hand going through the sand like that. And I told that young guy, I was crying, and I told that young guy, I said, I don't know if you understand Bible stuff or whatever. I don't understand half of it myself, you know. But I told him, when I was praying for you, there's a story about they were going to stone this lady that was caught in prostitution. She was an adulterer. And so the guys were going to kill her. It was religious. They could. It was the law. And Jesus walks up and does his hand in the line, and he says, whoever has the first stone, you know, cast or whatever. So I was just trying to be real simple with him. And I told him, so while I was praying for you, I saw that. And I told him, I believe what the Lord is saying to you today is that's enough. I said, that's enough. He's going to heal your knee. Your knee's healed. I said, and you're going to give him glory. You know, I didn't say nothing about church. I didn't lead him to the Lord. I didn't do nothing. I'm like, God, you speak to this young man. Amen. Remember Acts? Show your hand, God. Let us go back out there and show your hand. So I'm walking out of the gym, and he comes over here, and he's like, Pastor. You know, say, Pastor. And he's like, man, mi rodilla está en fuego. You know, so he says, my knee's on fire. And I'm like, man, let's go, bro. You know, and I just left. You know, I didn't go back and say, man, God's healing you, bro. I'm like, you do it, God. I'm like, you have your own encounter with the Lord. So it brings supernatural power, you guys. Praying and fasting brings favor. Praying and fasting, you guys, brings provision. Are you getting this? It's okay. We need these things, okay? Get off this stuff, whoever says, well, you know, we're supposed to be humble. And no, you need a house, okay? You need a good car. You don't need a car, mom, single moms. You don't need a car. It's going to break down every time you drive somewhere. That's not your Father in heaven. Amen? That's not your Father in heaven. He said, I'll provide all your needs. You need a car. You need a house. You need money. Amen. You need money for you, and you need money to grow the kingdom. Two most important things in the world. Do those two things, and he'll bless you. He'll multiply you. Amen. We came in today, and we gave God our first, didn't we? We worship. We worship, and we gave him our first. And what happened? The doors of heaven opened, and God began to heal people. And he's going to finish it here in a little bit. So it gives us provision. It gives us protection. It brings us into a deeper relationship. Prayer and fasting brings us into this deep relationship where, you know what? I don't even want to eat, Pastor. I don't want to go eat a steak after church, okay? I don't care. I don't care. I've been with the Lord 21 days. And all of a sudden, I just want to walk off from that? No. I may fast for 40 days. I have no idea. I love the Lord. I love to see what he's doing in me. I told Pastor, I needed this fast more than anyone can imagine. Emilio, not Pastor Emilio. Emilio Diaz Sanchez needed this fast. I was at a place. You've been there, Pastor. You've been there, Jamie. You've been there. I was at a place. Okay? Preaching the gospel. Seeing people heal, casting demons out and all that. And Emilio was at a place. And I needed this fast. And when Pastor said, we're going to do a 21 fast, I'm like, I'm in. I'm so in. I'm like, Jesus, you have to do something in my life right now. You have to, Lord. You just have to, God. Say it with me, you guys. Raise your hands right now. Just raise them up and just say, God, you have to do something in my life. Just say it right now. Say it out loud. Voice it. Voice it. Come on, church. Let's get vocal, okay? Let's begin to be vocal about things. Amen. The Lord says, when you cry out, I hear you. He doesn't say when you sit there. Remember, let's be Bible people. He says, when you cry out, what do you need God to do right now in your life? What did you come in here this morning? Pastor got you ready. What did you come in here this morning expecting? What did you come in here expecting this morning? Well, you need to just tell him. Say it with him right now. Say it. Say, God, you better do this. I need you to do this. I need you to move. I need you to get me a job. I need a job. I need a better job. I need my marriage to be restored. I need my kids to accept Jesus Christ. That guy that messes with me at work all the time, if he does it again, I'm going to bust him. I need him to be saved. You know what I'm saying? I need him saved. I need my cousin saved in Minnesota. I need my granddaughter saved. And I need my friends that we went on missions to Guatemala. I need to see them saved. We're not just fasting because we're fasting. Amen. I want to see my church grow, not just in numbers. Grow spiritually. You know, grow deep. Dig deep roots in Christ. Deep roots in the Word of God, where we can say, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. We're so deep rooted. Elders in this church, I talked to some of you. God called you to do something. Once again, you need to talk to Pastor about that. That was a word for you. Elders in here, you know, elderly people, whatever. You know what I'm saying? We need to impart into this young generation. We can't just come in and sit around. They need us. More than ever, man, do they need us. Amen. Our grandchildren need us. This is for the generations. The Lord says this is for you, for your children and for their children. What we've done for 21 days, you guys, is a spiritual, atmospheric, universal, whatever you want to say. It makes an impact. There's a shift in the heavenly that's happening today. There's a shift. Amen. Things happen. Things change. Amen. I remember Dr. Miles Monroe. He said, prayer. Watch this. Listen to this. This messed me up. Dr. Miles Monroe said, prayer is giving God. We give God something? Listen, prayer is giving God the permission. That doesn't even sound right, doesn't it? I mean, religious people may say, well, brother, you're saying that you're giving God permission? Yes, he said prayer is giving God permission to interfere on his things on earth. That's why Jesus, when he prayed, That's why Jesus, when he prayed, I'm getting it. Yeah, that's why when Jesus prayed, he said, let your kingdom come. Where? On earth. God wants his kingdom on earth. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. It is here now. Amen? Give God some praise in here. Give him some praise. It's for us. It's for our grandchildren. It's for everyone. Who is this God? Do we know him? Do we know who this God is? Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Who can come against us? If God be for us, who can be for us? I'm just going to do some things, okay? I feel like, man, we just need to worship God. You know what I'm saying? We need to give God praise this morning. Who is God? What about some of his names? What about Yahweh? You know, who is God? Yahweh. What does Yahweh mean? He's the self-existing one. He doesn't need anyone. Someone asked me one day, what was before the beginning? Nothing. How do you know? I don't know. I don't care. I don't have to know. Jesus died on the cross for me. Let me help you guys. Years ago, the Lord spoke to me reading the Bible, and years ago, in Isaiah 58, he said, my ways are not your ways. I'm like, ooh, thank you. Remember, I was raised, trained military, okay? So military people, when they say something, it is what it is. I mean, when my dad said something, I wasn't no, you know, today you're like, no, man, I'm here to tell you. I'm not even going there, but, you know, that's a parenting thing. So anyway, and parenting is a God thing. Amen. So I'm just like, oh, I obey. So when the Lord told me, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, I was like, woo, thank you, Jesus, man. I'm just going to do what you said, and I don't have to worry about anything. I don't have to worry. Vicky asked me one day, how do you feel when you pray for someone and they get healed? I'm like, I don't worry about nothing. He already told me. My thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. If you think about it, it hinders you. Then you begin to maybe question the Holy Spirit. Are you going to heal him or not? So I just got set free by the word. You guys, the word sets us free. He's an all self-existing God, Elohim. He's the mighty creator. He created man and woman, yes. Male and female. There's no others. There's not two females. There's not two males. He created them. He breathed into the male. Amen. He created a male. He took a rib from their side, not behind them. Okay. The woman doesn't follow you. You know, dogs do. Cattle do. Horses do. Amen. Your wife's beside you. Amen. He took a rib from her side and created woman because it was not good for man to be alone. He didn't create a man for a man or a woman for a woman. We have to be biblical people. Amen. I don't step back from that. I don't apologize. I don't apologize for God's word to nobody. We got to be careful. Don't be apologizable to stand for his word. The Lord Almighty, El Elyon, the Most High God, El Elohim, the Everlasting God, Adonai, the Lord, the Master, Jehovah Jireh, the one who provides, Jehovah Rapha, the one who healed you and healing you right now. If you need a healing, you need to just be telling the Lord right there, Lord, you're healing me. You need to just say it. Thank you, God. I'm healed. I'm walking out of here healed emotionally, spiritually, and physically. Amen. The one who provides, Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Jehovah Nisi, he's my banner. He fights your battles. What did he say? This is not your fight. He told Jehoshaphat, this is not your battle. It's mine. Quit fighting battles. Quit fighting against people. Amen? Just quit fighting. Stop doing it. Amen? You're wasting your time, and the devil is stealing time away from you that you can be with the Lord, praying for people, doing God's work, all because you're allowing the devil to deceive you that somebody hurt you or someone did this. I understand. I've been through some serious hurt, you know. I have. But you know what? I had to come to a quick conclusion that, you know what? If I'm going to be a biblical person, I'm going to obey the word. The word says forgive them. The word says pray for them. The word says turn the other cheek. And I've been around the Lord too much, and I love what he does. And I can't afford to let anything or anyone hinder me from doing what God's called us to do. The Lord who heals, my banner, Shalom, he's the God of peace. Amen? Amen. Peace. Say this with me. Say peace. Say, I receive God's peace. Right now. Say it again. I receive God's peace. You're not walking out of here today struggling like you did coming in. Worrying about things. Not sleeping. There's someone in here right now, you haven't slept. You're not sleeping. Watching on TV. You just haven't slept. You know, the word says this. I am the God who causes you to sleep. He does everything. Pastor said it. I'm the God who causes you to sleep. I cause you to rest. Amen? If you're not sleeping, that's from the devil. If you're having bad dreams, that's from the devil. It's not him. So if you're in here today and you're like, oh, my God, man, that's me. I can't sleep. I'm having all these crazy dreams. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus right now. And I declare that every night you'll be saying, you'll lay down and you'll say, my God is the one who causes me to sleep. Amen? I'm not anxious about stuff. I'm not worried about stuff. Those are distractions that God is using to pull us away from the kingdom of God is at hand. Now go. Declare the gospel. Amen? Amen. Pray for everyone. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lay hands on the sick. Cast demons out. Raise the dead. It doesn't have to be someone that's dead in their body. I believe that Jesus didn't do a whole lot of raising people from the dead. He did a whole lot of things more than he did raise the dead. I believe Jesus' focus was raising the dead like me when I was walking around a dead man and I didn't know Christ. Humanity is dead. And Jesus is saying, raise them up. Amen. Inject the gospel inside of them. Amen. Jehovah Shammah, he's our righteousness. Amen. The Lord is there. Jehovah Ra, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Amen. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. Amen. That's who he is. That's the Lord that Romans 8 is talking about. Who shall separate us from his love? There's power in prayer and fasting. In Daniel chapter 1, we see that Daniel fasts for 10 days. Daniel chapter 1, 10-day fast. Amen. What happens? They give him wisdom, insight, knowledge, intellect, favor. What about the fourth man in the fire? Didn't we sing that earlier? I mean, look at what happened to these guys when they fasted. They saw Jesus. How many of you all want to see Jesus? See, in this journey of fasting, and we get alone, and Jesus said, hide, go in your prayer closet. You know what I'm saying? Spend time with, you will see Jesus. Amen? Listen, you guys, I'm pushing you. I want to push you today. Amen? Amen. So in Daniel chapter 10, okay, so Daniel does a 21-day fast. You know, a lot of times, I'm not being picky or nothing, but, you know, we'll look at Daniel chapter 1, talk about the fast. The 21-day fast was actually in Daniel chapter 10. So he does the 21-day fast, and listen what happens. So an angel comes to visit Daniel. It says, in the form of a man, and his feet were like gold, and his eyes were like fire, and his clothing were like wool. And it was like bronze. And then when you go to Revelations, in Revelations chapter 1, what does it do? Immediately, he's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. And then it gives this description of Jesus Christ. His beard was white. Daniel had an encounter in that 10-day fast. And when he was fasting, he had a literal encounter with the Lord. Have you all ever encountered an angel? Anybody? If you have, raise your hand. If you have, thank you, sir. Amen. Thank you, Shine. Anybody else here? Thank you so much. Amen. Tell everyone in here, say, angels are real. Let me hear you. Yeah. Listen, you guys, expect to encounter angels. Angels are real. Amen. There's angels assigned to each one of us in here in Psalms. Amen. There's angels assigned to each one of us. You see, you guys, when we pray and we fast, when we dive into seeking the Lord, amen, that doesn't mean you're crazy and goofy, you know. He's not goofy. The Holy Spirit is not goofy, okay? He's a gentleman. He's very honorable, amen. He's very respectable, amen. He is very kind, the Holy Spirit. He's meek and he's mild and he's powerful. Amen. Amen. He's powerful. He does what Jesus says, and Jesus does what the Father says. I'm here to tell you, it's coming straight from the top. Amen. So listen, you guys, God is good. So he sees that. You know, not only does he have an encounter with, which is Christ, you know, in that time, you know, he has this closeness. There's this close encounter with him, this intimacy with Christ. So that happens to Daniel during his fast. In Esther chapter 4, okay, ladies in here, what happened with Esther? Cyan took all these girls through this whole book of Esther. What happens in the book of Esther? Well, what if you didn't step up for this time? Young people, what if today you didn't step up? What if your friends that are out there struggling and hurting and all these other church folks, I'm sorry, they don't call them, they don't text them, they don't invite them to your house, you know what I'm saying? They don't do that because they're not like them and all this, you know what I'm saying? And you know what? They're, pretty soon, you know what? Crazy thoughts are going to go in their mind and things happen. So Mordecai, her uncle, praise God, he's the hero, says, you got to do this. If you don't, God will find someone else. He will. You know, he'll find someone else. When I miss stuff, when the Lord tells me, you need to stop at this store going and pray for that lady, and I'm like, man, I got to go to the gym. You know, and I don't. I go to the gym. And he's like, okay, I'll find someone else. And I'm like, oh, man, I'm sorry. You know, then I'm not condemned. I don't feel condemnation. I'm just like, oh, man, sorry, Dad. And he's like, okay, you know, don't be messing with me. You know what I'm saying? You know, I will find someone else. But I'd rather do it myself because I'm his son and he loves me. Amen. So in Esther, she steps up to the plate. And what happens? She calls a 3-day fast. We're fasting now. Now, Joseph. Amen. So she does a 3-day fast. And what happens? All the Jews are saved. Look at the things that happen. Are you guys getting this? Look at what happens when we fast. Today's not just the end of a 21-day fast. Today is the beginning of breakthrough. Today is the beginning of something new that God wants to do. Today is the beginning of a gate that has been shut and God is opening for this church. The whole church needs to get this. This is the beginning of a gate that God is opening for this church in this city. I love every church. Pastor does too. I don't know what they're going to do, but right here, God is going to do something radical. Amen. And you're going to see it, and you need to jump on board. You can't leave here today and say, man, that was a crazy service, and next Sunday just show up the same. No, you can't. You need to be wearing his phone out. You need to be texting him, Pastor, man, I stopped at this store, and the Lord said this, and I've never done it, and I did it. And then the whole church just ignites. You know what? Of course, they call that revival, but revival is because you got revived personally, and you began to obey the Lord. Ministries pop up out of here. Amen. Missionaries, pastors, apostles, evangelists, you know what I'm saying? It's going to happen. Teachers that everyone forgets about. That was Jesus' main name. Nehemiah chapter 1. You know, Nehemiah sees the walls being destroyed, and he's burdened, and he's weeping, and he's in pain, and he fasts, and he tells the king, can I go do this? And look here. Look at the favor. The king tells him, go. Ask him what he needs. He gives them wealth. He gives them money. I believe he sent an army with them. He sent everything with them to go restore the walls. When we fast, we become restorers. Isaiah 58 says that. We become restorers. Mija, there's a sheet in my notebook. I need it. I'm fixing to finish. We're fixing to close right now. Jehoshaphat, the word says he was a righteous king. He fasted. Do you know that he called a fast to the whole nation? And I was studying that, and it seems like it was probably over 1 million people in the nation of Judah, like over 1 million people, Pastor. So he's like, okay, y'all, we're fasting. You know what I'm saying? The whole nation. What if the church, you guys, what if we could just get along? Just let me get this one sheet out of it. What if we could just get along? I mean, what would happen if we just got along, you guys? Amen? More so all started fasting together and praying, that would be ridiculous. Look at the damage. These are things that biblically happen. These are the effects of prayer and fasting. Are you guys getting this? Amen. So not only does he do that, but he stands up for the Lord. And he says, hey, listen, all this demonic stuff's got to end. Not going to happen on my watch. Is that not good? He's bold. He's like, it ain't going to happen on my watch. He said, all this idolatry junk, it ain't going to happen. All these Asher poles about some chick, Queen Asher, whatever her name was. You know, she said, in the word it says, she connected herself with El, capital E-L, which is joking about the Father, Yahweh. You know, that's his name, El Shaddai. So she was like, really, when you study all that, she was trying to compare herself like his wife or his friend. Or something like that, you know what I'm saying? And use nature and all this. I told Vicky the other day, you remember the hippies? I was just thinking, I was like, you know, all the nature stuff, you know, all this, you know. I have people talk to me about all sorts of things, you know, and I'm like, that's all that astral stuff. You know what I'm saying? There is no, the mountains speak to you. And you know, I just saw, I'm like, that's what she did. He tore all that stuff down. Is that not cool? We need church, we need the church needs to be that way. We're not mean. We just pray. We pray for these Asher poles, and they fall down. I mean, that's what we do, don't we, Pastor? We pray. We fast, and they fall down. And we teach our kids to do that. Acts 13:2, callings and giftings. They chose Paul and Barnabas. And what does the word say? It does. Specifically, it says this. And after they fasted, after they prayed and fasted, Tanya, they laid hands on them. You see what happens? After you pray and fast, your call is burst. There's many in here today that, you know what? There's some of you in here that, you know what? God called you into the ministry a long time ago. I know there is some of you in here. God spoke to you when grandmama was talking to you. And grandmama laid hands on you and said, you're going to preach the gospel one day, boy. You're going to preach the gospel one day, girl. You're going to be a missionary. You're going to do this. You're going to build orphanages. You're going to do whatever. You're going to be the president. You're going to be a teacher. You're going to be whatever. And things never happened. because we got away from the Lord. But when you pray and fast, your calling is awakened. And there's going to be callings in here. And you're going to tell your pastor. We have to testify. Amen. We have to testify of what God does. Amen. Because God will do something in your life and then you don't say nothing. And the devil's like, well, I'll just ease you back into where you were. We got to testify. We defeat the enemy by what? Revelations. Amen. La sangre del cordero y el nombre de Jesús. Amen. By the power of the blood and our testimony. We testify. Amen. Jesus defeats the devil. We defeat the devil when we fast. Matthew chapter 4, he goes in the desert. What happens? The devil's lying to him, constantly lying to him. And the biggest lie and challenge was this, was his identity. He says, if you are the Son of God. In the garden, what did the devil tell Eve? Did God really say this? Challenges God's word, challenges our identity. When we pray and we fast, we know who we are. We're child of the Most High God. We're children of the Most High God. We're above and we're not beneath. We're the head and we're not the tail. We're not broken, but we're repaired. You know what I'm saying? We're intelligent. We're smarter than everyone else. We have wisdom. Amen. We're ambassadors of Christ. We represent the Lord. We have an inheritance in Christ. Romans talks about it. Amen. Amen. We're anointed of God. We're called of God. We're sent out by God. We know who our identity is. When we pray and fast, Jesus' identity was real. He said, I don't do anything that's not in the Word. I don't do anything that my Father says. And then I like this right here, you guys. If you guys go with me to, let's go to chapter 4. I'm fixing to close this up right now, you guys. If you guys just go with me to chapter Matthew chapter 4, it's one of my favorite things. This is what happens when we pray and fast. Supernatural things happen. Spiritual doors are open. Things are awakened in our lives. But because we're Christians and God needs us. Say this with me. Say, God needs me. He does. That's why he saved you. That's why he sent Jesus to the cross. That's why he was beaten, battered, and nails were driven in his hand and his feet and a crown stuck in his forehead. And Isaiah says, you couldn't even tell he was a man when you think about how beat up he was. You know the movie? What was that movie that came out? About The Passion of Christ? That was pretty good. You remember that movie, babe? I remember the movie. We went to go watch the movie, and the movie was over, Pastor, and everyone sat there. You could hear a pin drop at the movie theater. And I got up, and I walked down to where the movie, big screen is. I walked over there, and I told everyone, I said, listen, you guys, I can't say anything because we just watched the movie. I said, but if you're in here today and you don't know Jesus, right now would be a real good time for you to accept the Lord. And I don't know how many hands went up, 40, 60 hands, whatever. And I told everyone in there, if you're a Christian, will you pray for that person? Then we went with our pastors. I did it again. Same amount of people got saved. And you may say, Pastor, I'm not like that. Well, maybe you're not. But you who you are. And do what God calls you to do. Because people are dying every 3 seconds and they're busting hell wide open. And a lot of them are people we don't know because we don't understand who we are. We don't understand that we're more than conquerors. Amen. We conquered this. We conquered that. Now I'm more than a conqueror. You know what I'm saying? Now I get it. Now I get it. Now. Amen. I get it. Now. Now to him who can do. Now to him who can do what I can't do. Amen. Now to him who can do exceedingly. Ephesians 3:20. Amen. That's my hashtag thing. Amen. I had a tattoo on my forehead. Now to him who does exceedingly, abundantly, más que hallar, hermano. Amen. More than we can fathom, more than we can think, more than we can imagine. I remember one day driving by the road. The Holy Spirit said, let's read that again. He said, just stop at this word, imagine. He said, I want you to start imagining. It's a whole different thing. More than you can think of. Well, I think of stuff all day. I'm thinking of things right now. I can think of stuff all day. I can ask for things all day, but as a child of God, do I literally sit down, Pastor, and do I just imagine? Do I just imagine things? Do I imagine Honduras getting saved for Jesus? And do I imagine the Dominican Republic one of the greatest landfills on earth, and little kids walking around with no diapers or no nothing, walking in the trash, and they live there, Pastor. They lived. And we went there to preach. Can you imagine just down the road, us people? We do city outreaches every month. Can you imagine people out there that are broken, Pastor? They don't think they can come to church because maybe they're not accepted. Maybe they're a different color. Maybe they act different. Maybe their hair's weird, whatever. Maybe it's a guy and a guy and a girl and a girl. They need Jesus, you know what I'm saying? Can you imagine? Can you imagine those people coming in, walking through these doors, and us loving them and say, hey, man, will you sit with me? I tell all my crazy people, sit with me, man. Just sit with me. Say, and yet people will look at you. I'm like, I don't care. God loves them. You need to get saved. You need to remember what the gospel says. Go out into the world. Amen. Where's your world? Our world is right here. And it says this. So after Jesus fasted, I like Luke. Luke says this, and he came out in the power. Everybody stand up. If you would stand up and just come forward to the altar, we're going to pray. Everybody. Everyone. I mean everyone. Just let me help you guys today. Don't stay seated. If you can't walk up, start walking. I'm just here. I don't know what else to do when I preach the gospel because I have to obey the word, Pastor. The word says that at the preaching of the gospel, these things will happen. So it's up to him and it's not up to me. But I love what happens here. It says here, so Jesus comes out in Luke. It says he comes out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Watch, you guys. When we pray and fast, listen. When we pray and fast, God wants to release, Pastor, power. Say it with me, power. We don't have time to play right now, my friend, with the fire. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Power. Power. We receive power. Young people, power.
We want to thank you for listening to the message today. We would love for you to stop by and see us. Our services start at 10 a.m. on Sundays and 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights, with various small groups throughout the week. Here at Life Church, we hope you have a great week.